This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 20th, 2020. The Fourth Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Those words are from a doxology. Doxology is a liturgical form, a form of praise to God. We, in our day and age, when we hear the doxology with a definite article, that is generally the saying of praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, and so on. That is a doxology. That is a good doxology. That is not a doxology that is given us by the Holy Spirit directly. This one, the words in our second reading today are from a doxology that is given by the Holy Spirit. These words of praise of God, very interesting in the fact that in three verses, this is Romans 16, verses 25 to 27, in three verses of Scripture, you have, in a nutshell, the plan of salvation. You have the plan of salvation that culminates in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, the redemption of man. And then what's expected of us. In those three verses, you basically have the entire gospel. What God has done for us and what he expects of us. It's all right there. You think, man, Holy Spirit's really working through St. Paul because in three verses he could do that. Why do we have the whole Bible? Well, that fleshes it out a little bit. In seedbed form anyway. The whole Bible is there to present to us the same message, what God has done for us and what he expects of us. It all pointed to the incarnation, every single word of it. Okay, we look at the Old Testament, we see what is referred to as types, typology, shadows of what was going to come in our Lord Jesus Christ. Every bull that had his throat slit in the temple was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. The building of the temple and how glorious it was. That first reading today, if you read it in its entirety, and it kind of goes on, is this detailed account of David desiring to build a house for God, a temple in which he's worshiped. King David is a man that the Holy Spirit tells us was a man after God's own heart. But we wanted to build a temple for God, God's like, nah, you're not going to do it. Why? You're a man after God's own heart. He was also still an adulterer and a murderer. And although God forgives him for it, there are still consequences for his past actions. God lets his son build a temple for him. And it's kind of interesting that when Solomon builds the temple, he's what God wants him to be. But after he builds it, then he goes off the rails. God knows what he wants, how he wants it, when he wants it. This is what the scriptures do for us. But the message is as simple as the three verses. For us to appreciate the fact that we are the recipients of the disclosure of a mystery, as it says in Scripture, that was kept secret for long ages. It was always there, but we have to appreciate the fact that it is for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. It is also something that should make us truly appreciate who we are in Christ Jesus. Because you live in a day where you don't have to deal with shadows and types and things that point forward to something, you know from history who was to come. The first words of the Mass today, you're paying attention as they were chanted today. Those first words of the Mass, send down your righteousness from heaven. May the earth open up and bring forth a Savior. What does that mean to some Old Testament person? Yeah, you know God's talking about his Messiah. Coming down from heaven and the earth opening up. It's exactly the incarnation. You know, why is it easy for me to say, duh, it's the incarnation? Because I know that God clothed himself in flesh, came down from heaven, and was born of a woman who was of the earth. So I get this whole, the righteousness came down from heaven, and the earth opened up and gave us a Savior. It's easy for me because I know Jesus. This is something very special about us. We're special because of Jesus, not because we're so great. I am disturbed quite frequently at the presentation at a lot of places where basically the homily is like this motivational speech of how great you are. If you're that great, you don't need a Savior. I actually had a person leave this parish one time, and they had a friend that was still here, and I said, ask them why they left. Verbatim. I don't like hearing how bad I am all the time. That's a serious problem. Because if you're hearing things and you know it makes you sound bad, you got to fix it. That's what this is all about. Understanding that we always need to be fixed. I don't want to hear how bad I am. Newsflash, we're all bad. This whole Catholic thing is about getting better. That's that whole, and it's beautiful and glorious, Catholic guilt. Catholic guilt, like it's a pejorative. It's a good thing. It's stellar. Because if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. And the whole Jesus thing is like, whatever. This is what Paul talks about in three verses, this doxology. It is the mystery that was kept secret from long ages. This mystery came to the fore in Genesis, right immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve. God seeks out Adam, and he calls him to task, and then he's there with Eve, and he's pronouncing judgment. He says, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, or you and the seed of the woman, as he talks to the serpent. That is what is referred to technically as the proto-evangelia, the first gospel. This is where God lets it know that there is going to be a Savior who comes from a woman, that he's going to do something in the future. Now, what did that mean to Adam and Eve, particularly in their fallen state? Now, Satan knew. That's why he kept his eye out for this Savior. But Adam and Eve, now they're corrupt. They don't get it. And people didn't get it for a couple millennia until Jesus Christ came, ultimately. But God never ceased to point forward to it. That's what he does. He gives us clarity. So when we read this, it's not about, you know, all the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Now it's disclosed. That was at Bethlehem. And now, okay, we know. So let us just move on. No, not at all. Because the disclosure happens progressively in each and every one of our lives. As we live our life of faith every single day, and it shouldn't just be on Sundays, every single day, you should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you read Scripture, every day you pray, there ought to be a little bit more enlightening, a little bit more illumination, a little bit more disclosure. This is the way it must be. I got nothing for anyone who looks at me and says, you know, I've been a Catholic for the past 50 years, and now I'm the same one as I was 50 years ago. I'm good with that. You shouldn't be. That's called stagnation. You have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul talks about in these three. It's not just a matter of understanding what all the shadows pointed toward. It's about, now what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with this disclosure? He doesn't leave it up to us to subjectively figure out what that might be. He goes on to say, now to him who is able to strengthen you to bring about the obedience of faith. The strength that the Holy Spirit gives us as he proceeds from the Father and the Son, and as we delve into the gospel, is to firmly ground us in both the doctrine of our faith and in its practice. The two are inextricably linked. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot know a bunch about your faith and think that that's okay. I can answer all kinds of catechism questions, but I live like trash. Nobody would think I was a Catholic. You know, the worst thing for us is for a person to look at you and go, I didn't know you were a Catholic. That should be devastating. absolutely devastating that somebody doesn't know you're a Catholic. It should be a banner that you wave, because Paul doesn't just leave it with to firmly ground you in doctrine. He says to bring about obedience. You can't be obedient to words and propositions. We're obedient to a person who is our Lord Jesus Christ, and that obedience manifests itself. Now, you parents, if you tell your kids to do something or not to do something, and they look at you, don't do that. No. And they went, I'm obedient. They can talk about being obedient, but are they? No. Okay, this is what we have to appreciate about our Catholic life. We must manifest this obedience. This is why he said to bring about obedience of the faith, not to bring about a knowledge of the faith. Now, knowledge is, as I said, inseparable from the practice of our faith. Okay, how can you practice something that you don't know about? Whoa, we're living that in our day. I think it's a conservative estimate. 75%, 80% of people who darken the door of Catholic Church, they have no clue whatsoever about what their church has always taught, how the faith has always been practiced. They think that things have come up in the past 60 years, that's Catholic. And if I don't see that, all bets are off. Discounting 1,970 years of the Holy Spirit working in a church. This is why we're having the problems with it, because they manifest themselves in the way people live their lives or don't live their lives according with the faith. Weird things that you come up with. My God would never do that. Well, gee whiz, that sounds really nice for you to say that, but it's not what God says about himself. I've never heard that. Yeah, it's a big fault of the clerical state in the church, but it's also something on you to learn your faith and deepen your faith yourself. Check things out. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I throw it out all the time. Check this out. That's why I don't ever stand up here and I think this or I believe that or I think God's saying that. I just say, this is what it says in Scripture. This is what the church has always taught about it. It's what this encyclical says about it. And as long as it's consistent, then everything's fine. As soon as you hear something, no matter where it comes from, no matter what color cassock the person's wearing, if it's not in conformity, what you know the church has always taught, you got to start asking questions. I didn't say deny it outright. I didn't say kick and scream and get depressed about things. You need to check it out yourself. And if you find that it's not consistent, guess what? Then don't pay attention to it. This is our faith. We build on things. It doesn't change. You'll hear, well, that's just the development of doctrine. Development means to build upon. Doesn't mean start something new somewhere. This is what St. Paul's talking about, obedience to the faith. Not obedience to any particular administration or any particular individual. Obedience to the faith. The deposit of the faith that has been handed down to us since apostolic times. Hence, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This is the reality of things. And the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul drives this point home. It is not a suggestion. He is making a point that it is a necessity to embrace the doctrine and practice of the church. You can't separate the two, as I said. You can't know a bunch about the faith and then not live it, or you can't act like you're living the faith and not know what it says. And there are a lot of people that do consider themselves very faithful and they live a certain way, but it's not conformity with the doctrine that the church has handed down. They'll vote for evil people. Oh, that's just politics. Not what the scriptures say. If we consent to their evil, you are as guilty as them. You know, it is pervasive in our lives. It must be. But why do so many people, you walk around your churches and see people with bumper stickers for evil politicians. Evil politicians. For Catholics who come to Mass a lot, there's a disconnect between them living a life of faith, because they come here a lot and they are, in that sense, faithful. They don't know the doctrines of the church. They don't know what Scripture teaches. We got to do and know both. You don't have to be able to pass a theology exam to get into heaven. But I mean, this is why we have sacramental prep. This is why somebody can't walk in off the street and come up and go, hey, Father, I really dig on the way this church looks. I want to be baptized because I want to hang out here. Oh, okay, let's baptize you. No, hey, we got to talk. Sit down for a while, see where you are, see what the background is, see what's going on. And every individual that comes in, it shouldn't be cookie cutter. Well, you have to be in the catechumenate for 3 years because that's what we do. If it's not necessary, get the guy baptized as soon as he possibly can. But if there's problems, it could be 6 or 7 years. That's just the individual. This is the way it should be approached. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. This is what we need to understand about our faith. This is what the three verses in this doxology, a liturgical form of praise to God. It speaks of our redemption. It speaks of the incarnation. It speaks of our responsibilities in a nutshell. And then the last verse is very, very interesting. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. To know and embrace our Lord Jesus Christ is to glorify the Father. If you do not embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't glorify the Father. Are you saying people that aren't Christians, that they don't believe in God, they don't glorify Him? That's why it's so upsetting to Him. They don't glorify Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. What parent could send a son to be sacrificed for another individual, and then that individual go, well, I like you, but I don't like your son? That's a ridiculous concept. But that's what a lot of people do. I believe in God the Father, but I don't believe in His Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ addresses that very explicitly. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. He actually said, this is how explicit he gets. You of your father, the devil. And you know who he's talking to? The Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. You are of your father, the devil, because you don't believe in me. But now people who have watered down the doctrine of our church and don't live it in faith, what is their contention? Well, they might be all right. Again, sounds nice. It's not what Jesus says. This is the bottom line. This is why we, each and every one of us, have to praise God the Father through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every person on the face of this planet is expected to do the same, because that is specifically what St. Paul says, that it has been disclosed to you. This mystery has revealed, I will quote, made known to all nations. He doesn't say that they'll accept it. He just says that it has been made known to all nations. And now what we do as individuals in our own free will, that's the make it or break it. Because you're not going to be judged with the church. You're going to be judged before the judgment seat of Christ yourself as an individual. This is why we need to learn these things. And we can find them in the most interesting places in Scripture. You just spend a year going through the Psalms and saying, these are prayers that the Holy Spirit gave us, and it teaches us our faith. Here we have one of Paul's letters. It's ended with a doxology, a liturgical form, and we know it's encapsulated the entire plan of salvation in three verses. That simply. But we just simply have to know our faith, and we have to simply live it. That sounds pretty simple, but it seems very complicated in our day for a bunch of people. We can't have that, because if that's the issue, then the Father isn't glorified. He needs to be glorified through the Son, and that means embracing what the Son has said and what He has taught us and what He did for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.